Larry Burgess, Health, Safety, and Environment Manager for Blue Crest Energy, told the crowd the company wants to be a good neighbor.
Most of the people who work for us are from here. We don't want to hurt this environment. We live here.
Burgess gave an overview of the company's plans. From Blue Crest's pad overlooking Cook Inlet at mile 151 of the Sterling Highway, it will directionally drill oil wells located 3.5 miles offshore in Cook Inlet and about 7,000 feet below the surface. First oil was produced from an existing well March 31st, and Blue Crest is now sending 250 to 300 barrels a day in tanker trucks up the highway to the Tesoro refinery in Nikiski. A new drill rig is arriving in parts and should be assembled and operational in August. By December or January, the company hopes to utilize hydraulic fracturing, permits dependent, on half of its 20 wells underneath the inlet. Full expected production capacity of 10,000 barrels of oil a day could be reached in 5 years. The project is expected to produce for 30 years. There's a lot in there causing residents concern. One thing is the increased traffic. Burgess says there could be nearly 36 trucks on the highway each day once peak production is reached.
We're hoping that we don't have a big impact because we are on the Southern Peninsula. And during the summertime, when there's a lot of traffic on the road, there could be a problem coming in and out of that driveway.
But Burgess says the Alaska Department of Transportation estimates the tanker trucks will only account for a 1.6% increase in traffic on Kalifornsky Beach Road and 1.3% on the Sterling Highway. He says a pipeline would be the safest way to transport the oil, but that simply isn't economical for Blue Crest to build. Once maximum expected production is reached, the company will look at shipping the oil up the inlet via a small tanker.
Blue Crest is opposed to putting oil in the water. That's why we're not doing it now. But that may be the safest way to transport the oil because trucking probably provides the most risk.
Water contamination was another concern for residents, both in terms of the area drinking aquifer and Cook Inlet waters. Burgess stresses that the fracking activity takes place far offshore and underground, and the drill bore will use steel pipe sealed with cement inside another steel pipe surrounded with more cement to prevent fluids from leaking into the ground. A few people asked about risks from earthquakes. Burgess says the fault lines in Cook Inlet are too deep at 70,000 feet to impact oil and gas activity.
The actual fracking process is virtually impossible to affect drinking water or Cook Inlet.
He says the entire fracking process will take a week. Then the fracking fluid is produced back out of the drill hole and will be taken to a permitted disposal well.
There's only 20 wells and only 10 producers. For those 10 producing wells that are fracked, that's done once in their entire lifetime and it's never done again.
Blue Crest is looking at obtaining the water for fracking from abandoned gravel pits, but hasn't yet settled on a source, and also hasn't yet decided which disposal well will be used, nor has it determined exactly which chemicals it will use in its fracking fluid. Burgess says Blue Crest will release that information once the frack design is complete, well ahead of the fracking process. Blue Crest hasn't yet submitted its application for a permit to conduct fracking operations. Once submitted, Burgess estimates the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission taking about a month to review the permit. Until AOGCC makes its decision, the permit is not available to the public. For KBBI, I'm Jenny Nyman.